or maybe a better way to say it is, I want to share with you my response to the question, who do you say that I am? Just a few things. First of all, for me, Jesus is the greatest teacher who ever lived. Now, I think that's an entry point for a lot of people. A lot of people who become Christians start there. They start with Jesus as teacher. Even non-Christians would say, yes, He's the greatest teacher who ever lived, because they are taken by His ethical precepts. They're taken by His teaching. And the thing that fascinates me about Jesus and His teaching is not only the content of His teaching, but the methodology with which He taught. He basically taught with stories, didn't He? We call them parables. Just everyday stories. He would tell stories, everyday stories about the lives of people, average, ordinary, common people. He would tell stories, and the power of it was people could see themselves in that story. Somehow, some way, in the story, they could say, that reminds me of me. Another way I like to say it is this: Jesus' stories are liquid, not solid. They fit every container into which they're poured. When, for example, the story of the prodigal son is poured into me, it fits me, because I have lived that story. When the story of the prodigal son is poured into you, it fits you, because you have your own story or your own witness of, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Jesus is the greatest teacher who ever lived because of His high ethical standards, but also because of the simple way He taught. Jesus was a great teacher. That for me is important. Here's the second thing. For me, Jesus is a picture of what God is like. We have difficulty from time to time, people do, understanding what is God responsible for. What is God responsible for? Is God responsible for this thing? Is God responsible for that thing? A plane goes down and somebody will say, well, that was just the will of God. We must accept it. Or a child will be diagnosed with some life-taking sickness and we'll say, well, God must have just needed a little angel up in the sky again. Or a horrible storm will come through town and it'll rip buildings to pieces. And there are some people who will say, that was just an act of God. Is it really? Is it? I don't believe that it is. I don't believe that God is responsible for doing evil. Why do I say that? Because when I look at Jesus, I don't see that. Jesus said this. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So if you want to know what God is like, take a look at the life of Jesus. See what He did, hear what He said, and you'll have a picture of God. Do you remember the encounter Jesus had with the woman who'd been caught committing adultery? Do you remember that? It's in the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter, I think. If you recall that story, you'll remember that a group of people were about to stone her. Remember that? And that really was the law of the day, to stone someone, to stone a woman committing adultery. They were about to extract that punishment on her. And Jesus stopped that entire mob with one statement. Do you remember what it was? That the one who is without sin cast the first stone. Nobody threw a stone. In fact, you could hear them dropping to the ground. And after a moment, all you could hear were the sound of rocks dropping. And in time, the crowd dispersed. And Jesus was left alone with the woman. And Jesus said to her, what? He said, "Woman, where are your accusers?" And she said, "There are none, Lord." He said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way and sin no more." Notice, please. Jesus does not excuse what she's done. He doesn't take it lightly. But what he does do is offer her mercy. If you get nothing else out of today, get this. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Mercy is God withholding from us what we do deserve. That's the difference. He offered her mercy. Go your way and sin no more. Because Jesus chose not to define her by the worst choices she's ever made. That's important to hear. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God doesn't define you by the worst choices you've ever made? When you look at your own life, when you look at your own sin, when I look at my own life and my own sin, how is it that we can expect God to respond to us? Like Jesus did. When you see Jesus, you see a picture of what God is like. Jesus was the greatest teacher who ever lived, but he also shows us a picture of what God is like. Here's the next thing. Jesus is a friend who's there to guide me. A number of years ago, I had the opportunity with a team of laity and clergy from the Alabama West Florida Conference to go to Russia. Years and years ago, we had a thing in our annual conference called To Russia with God's Love. And I went with a team of people to Russia, and our goal was to assist in establishing faith communities. We had a window of opportunity, and we took it. But I was so intrigued with the faith of the Russian believers. Not the vast host of unbelievers, but those who are part of the Russian Orthodox Church. Here was my observation about the faith of the Russian believers. They would never have sung, Drew, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." They would never have sung that because their faith simply wasn't put together that way. No, their faith was contractual. And what I mean by that is that they understood their relationship with God to be a contract. You do your thing and God does His thing and you agree to do certain things. It's cut and dried. It was a contract. That's how they understood their faith. But that's not my faith. My faith is not that we have a contract with God, but that we have a relationship with Him. And the old song says, "And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own." Jesus is a friend who's there to guide us, to let us know when we've failed, to help us get back on track and walk alongside us. For me, Jesus is the great teacher. He's a picture of what God is like, but He's a friend who's there to guide me. Aren't you glad that rather than letting you go, the Lord decides to extend His hand, lift you up, dust you off, and say, let's keep going. Because there's not a soul in the room today who's not going to fail. But remember, God doesn't define you by your worst choices. He's a friend who's there to guide us. Number four, and one more after this, I think, and I'll be done. Number four, Jesus is the one who has forgiven my sin and continues to. I have to add that last phrase, you see, because I believe that Christ has forgiven my sin, but I continue to live a life of imperfection. So I need to forgive Him. I need Him to forgive me because of how far I fall short every single day. The great psychiatrist Carl Menninger once said, "The forgiveness of sins is the most therapeutic idea in the world." The most powerful thing for you and me to know is that we are forgiven. When we take Holy Communion, when we observe Holy Communion, there's a line in there where the pastor says, "In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven." And the people say, "In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven." It's a powerful, powerful thing. There's an old song that says, "Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me and I am no longer the same." You need to know that yes, Jesus has forgiven your sin, but as long as you're drawing breath on this side of heaven, you're gonna blow it from time to time. And there will be many, many occasions where you have to kneel down and say, "Dear God, I know better than I did. I know better. Will you please help me?" He's the one who's forgiven your sin. And he continues to. Here's the next one. Jesus is the one that sees to it that I will live forever. Isn't that what we celebrate at Easter? I mean, Good Friday is the day that Jesus defeated sin, right? He gave Himself a sacrifice, an atoning sacrifice for sin. But Easter is when we celebrate the victory over this life, over this death. Because this life ain't all there is to life. Aren't you glad? This life isn't all there is. It's been almost 2 months now. Doesn't feel like it, but it's been almost 2 months now since we buried my mother. She was 86. She had a number of things wrong with her. She, no question in my mind about her salvation. None of that. It was still heartbreaking. Not because I don't know where she is, but because I'm just going to miss her. I still have her voicemails on my phone, and I listen to them. For every single one of us in this room, there is going to come a time when you're at a narrow bend in the river of life. And at that narrow bend, you can simply take God's hand and step into eternity. That's what we believe. He's the one who has forgiven our sin, but He's also the one who sees to it that we will live forever. And that is what Easter is about. I'll just say one more thing quickly and then I'll stop. Jesus is the one I want to follow every day. Now, all the things I've talked about up to this point are what God has done for me in Jesus Christ. But this is what I do. This is what I do. It's a choice I make. I choose to follow Jesus. You see, God will not force you to follow Him. God will not twist your hand. God will not condemn you and say, you're going to. No, it's always a choice, isn't it? But here's the thing about choices. You make choices, and then your choices make you. You make choices in your life, and your choices are going to make you. So the question is still on the table. Who do you say Jesus is? And here's the truth. Here's the truth. The truth is, there are lots of things you can say. You can say, well, Jesus is someone I pull out on Sunday and I put on my religious faith thing, and then I go to church and then I put Him away on Sunday evening. There are some people who say, well, I got to be honest with you. I'm not really sure about Jesus. I'm still trying to figure out some things. There are some people who say, I've been following Him a long time, and the longer I follow Him, the more I realize I need Him. You know what I mean by that? My question is, what's your answer? What is your answer? Because your answer to that question will not only impact your daily decisions, your answer will determine your eternal destiny. So who do you say He is? I'm going to ask the praise team to come up, and as we're beginning to close our worship this morning, and I'm going to try something. I'm going to open our altar for a time of prayer. And as they're playing and singing, I'm just going to invite you, if you'd like to come and pray. To simply bow your head, bend your knees, and pray. And I just want to invite you to answer that one question. Tell the truth. I always tell my children, I've told them all their lives, I can handle anything as long as you tell me the truth. So as they're playing and as we're closing our worship service, I just want to open our altar for prayer. And I want to invite you to come and answer who Jesus is to you. Nobody's going to harangue you. Nobody's going to bug you about it. But I do want to give you an opportunity to tangibly respond. And so as they're playing and as they're singing, I want to invite you now, from wherever you are, if you wish, to come and pray.